This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Khanasan with Khoo Soo Chuang in the studio with me and from the recesses of the internet, Wong Xiaoning. How are you doing?
How are you guys? It's been a while since we've had this, you know, this combo of three of us together in the studio.
Yes, this dynamic has been missing for quite some time. But, well, through the miracle of Zoom, we now have you kind of in the studio with us. Not really, but it works.
I'm always watching y'all anyway.
That's not scary at all.
Hashtag, nothing escapes me, remember, guys?
Nothing escapes Wong Xiaoning. So if you ever feel like someone's watching you, it's probably her. Right now, we've got an exciting lineup for you, as we always do. Xiaoning, what are we taking a look at in the international side at 6:30?
Well, we're going to be talking about US and whether the shoppers are coming back. And of course, Hong Kong, because that is big news.
And Khoo Soo Chuang, you have some exciting stuff for us as well.
Yeah, I do. I talk about how this guy who retired early after working in investment banking no longer has that rosy retirement that he envisaged because of, guess what, the pandemic.
Yes, this is a little bit of a commentary on the FIRE movement.
And that's right.
What's it called again?
FIRE.
The Financial Independence Retire Early movement. Yeah. So we got all of that. And as usual, we will be covering the papers towards the end of the hour. So stick around with us throughout the 6 a.m. stretch. You can always get in touch with us over on Twitter at BFM Radio or over WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. Right after this, we're going to be talking about whether you're looking for deals as retailers try to make up their sales. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. That was Sweetness and Light by Lush, and I am Roshan Khanasan. Maybe not so sweet and definitely not so light.
Well, I can be light and you can be sweetness, or I can be sweetness and you can be light.
Whatever you want, Chuang.
And Xiaoning is both.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, Khoo Soo Chuang in the studio with me this morning, and Wong Xiaoning over the facility that is Zoom. I'm trying to stop using the word miracle because it's getting a little stale. But right now, we're talking about as retailers try to make up sales during whether it was quarantine or lockdown or for the Malaysian context, the MCO, we are seeing discounts. Are you looking for deals out there? And to start off this conversation, I'm looking at you, Wong Xiaoning. Are you looking at deals? Are you going to the malls and seeing what you can get at a discount?
No, actually not at all. I haven't gone to a single mall except to buy groceries. I've been a good girl. I've been staying at home. I think this MCO period, I mean, okay, we're still lucky. We still have our jobs. But there are lots of people who, of course, have lost their jobs or have had pay cuts. And, you know, I think the one thing that I take home with me is that I have a lot of stuff. Maybe there's a little bit of a time to kind of look back and see what you really need and just focus on essentials. And, you know, in the past, I'm guilty of it, and retail was this pleasure, right? When you were having a tough day, you just go out and reward yourself. But maybe that's not always such a good thing. You should reward yourself in other ways.
Yeah, Chuang,
I haven't gone shopping.
I've been quite good. I think is a big difference there from the narrative that we used to play on The Morning Run. But Chuang, what about you? Any shopping done?
Well, you know the saying, right? Everything is for sale. Everything can be sold at a certain price, right? And beyond which, everything can go. I'm going the opposite direction. I'm minimizing. I'm selling stuff. I'm getting rid of stuff. More details on that later. But I think just like... but just like in America...
What are you selling, Chuang?
Other than what I was endowed with, thanks to nature.
You're not going to get any prize for that.
Just really bad humor, too early in the morning. But like in America, right? You know, there's this payment protection scheme in America where the government is giving you money to tide you over. What I understand from America is that some of these packages, right, they are paying you more than what they used to get in their salaries in the past. So people are loath to get off their armchairs and they're going day trading. They're buying stocks on Robinhood, which is a, you know, brokerage-free trading platform. And they're just buying stuff and they don't want to go back to work. It's crazy. So I guess in America, if the shops like whatever, I mean, I think Macy's gone out of business, but other shops
Macy's is still around.
JCPenney and J.Crew.
Neiman Marcus.
Yeah, some of these guys have gone out. But, you know, there is a proposition because there's a lot of money left over. These Americans. happens, right?
But even here, right? So I actually went, I ventured into a mall last week.
You ventured into a mall?
Okay, I ventured. It was harrowing, no, I kid. I went to Wanatama. They had their setup and their QR codes and all of that. I went into Muji. I went into Pedro. I went into Uniqlo. Actually, I didn't go into Uniqlo. That was weird. But basically, I was looking at the different deals out there. And I did actually buy a pair of shoes. They were really nice. And they were like 30% off.
How are the spiders and the cobwebs? Were there
the spiders and the cobwebs were mostly gone. I didn't walk into any of them. But you know what it was? It was spooky because it was so empty. This was last week before the riot period had kicked in. It was so quiet. I think the only place that had a line was Aeon. Everything else was quiet. I was the only person in Pedro trying on shoes. So I had a dedicated, basically one of the Pedro guys there was just waiting on me and throughout the entire time.
Were you their best friend?
I was their best friend at that point. But yeah, so it was weird. But then again, I saw on Instagram stories over the Raya public holidays, I was seeing that the malls were starting to fill up again. So maybe some good news for them, because Raya time is an important time for a lot of retailers to make up some sales there.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's going to be a super challenge actually for retailers if you think about it, right?
Yeah, the next big...
SOPs.
Yeah, the new SOPs. And also the next big season for them will be Christmas at the end of the year. So the next few months could be relatively quiet for them. And this is always going to be tough. But like you said, Xiaoning, also like a lot of us can talk about the shopping because we still have jobs. We're still in a fortunate position. A lot of people have lost their jobs and figuring out how to manage that situation. And in fact, the next story, we're going to be talking about how someone lost $600,000 US dollars in their retirement fund because of the pandemic. But of course, this person had retired very, very early. And more on that in just a little bit. We'll be talking about, is early retirement realistic? Stay tuned here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Borderline by Tame Impala, and I'm Roshan Kunnison for BFM 89.9. Joining me in the studio this morning, Kusi Chuang, in this chair, a social distance away from me, and over the internet, Wong Xiaoning. How are you doing, Xiaoning? Can we do a sound check? Are you still there with us? You're still here. Ah, fantastic. So right now, we're talking about early retirement, is it a realistic thing? Because we have this story on CNBC that this guy lost $600,000 during the pandemic, and he's part of the FIRE movement. He and his wife, they just got a newborn earlier this year. Obviously, things have changed for them, but I think this highlights the wider early retirement and FIRE movement. Is it really realistic? I think for some people, it might be. But I think for most of us, it's just, it might be an illusion. Kusi Chuang, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, because scenarios change, right? So this guy retired at 34 years old. He was a former iBanker. He had about $3 million in savings 8 years ago, right? And I did some sums. Basically, he gets about a 10% yield on his investment properties, and it's comprised of like bond income, rental income, whatever. The thing is, with the pandemic, right, and that basically killed all his rental income, and then he also had another child, which he never factored in. And now he wants to enter the job market. He can't, you know. So everything's changed. I think for people who want to retire early, it's very difficult to plan a scenario which exists today but might not exist in 3 years' time. Who knows? In 3 years' time, it could be hyperinflation. And then everything is off limits again. Do you know what I mean? So I think for people who want to do the FIRE thing, bit hard nowadays, lah.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to have to plan for 30 years if, let's say, you retire at 60 and live till you're 90. To retire, to plan for 60 years, that's an incredible amount of time. Wong Xiaoning, what about you? What do you think about this situation?
Well, I think the main thing about retirement is just being extremely flexible, right? So yeah, you can sell to say, okay, I want to retire at 40 and have a goal. But, you know, sounds corny, but, you know, like Forrest Gump says, life is a box of chocolates. So if you pick the wrong one, you don't like the flavor, you just have to kind of hunker down and choose another one. So, okay, this guy already started off very well. So he's an investment banker. He managed to retire early. But the point is, his portfolio wasn't exactly 100% secure, right? So as long as you have some investment portion, be it equities or fixed income, other than cash, you're always going to be vulnerable to a market downturn. So I guess the point is, you've got to be extremely flexible. Keep an eye also on what's happening out there, right? So now he wants to go back to the job market. And with COVID-19, that's not going to be easy. But if he kept up with what was going on in the investment community, he still kept his context, maybe it's a little bit easier. So my point about retirement is that you kind of want to let go, but maybe not let go 100%, you know, because the problem about, let's say, doing investment banking is if you're out of the scene, how easy is it for him to get back? And in this kind of environment where so few deals are going on and everybody's just cutting jobs, I think that's going to be a big question mark. And he should really relook at his investment portfolio, right? Does he really need so many property, for example? Can he get rid of some? So I guess the point is to relook at the finances long and hard and make adjustments as you do.
Yeah,
it's just something you cover all the time, right? And ringgit and cents.
Yes, Xiaoning. Thank you for selling it for me early because today is Thursday and every Thursday we've got ringgit and cents at 9:30 a.m. And today we'll be talking about actually cars, whether you should buy one during this time. I think this is an interesting topic with interest rates low.
Who are you talking to?
Joyce Chua. She's a financial planner with Success Concepts. And we will be getting, I'm going to get her insights there. Is it a good time with interest rates low like we were talking about shopping earlier, about deals. Maybe we could see some showrooms cutting prices there. We'll see. So that's happening at 9:30. But Xiaoning, like you said, retirement, a lot of it is about that ability. You have to adapt, right? Because if you're planning for long term, you don't actually know what's going to happen. And maybe a lot of us have been lulled into a false sense of security with the last 10 years. And also with the fact that it now feels like the Fed is going to come in and save the market whenever a bit of trouble comes up.
Yeah, but it's all going to end ugly, right? Because you can't have a mountain of cash coming in and decreasing goods and services without some kind of hyperinflation coming into the picture. But I think that whole concept of retirement without doing anything at all, it's impossible now because there is nothing out there which guarantees you a return, not in stocks, not in properties, not in bonds. And it's, you know, I don't think that's realistic anymore.
And certainly not fixed deposits, which are like at 2-something% right now. But on that note, we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, we'll be talking about Hong Kong, the US, and Twitter versus Trump. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasan with Khoo Soo Chuang and Wong Xiaoning with me. Not both in the studio this morning, but right now we're taking a look at the international segment. And before I forget, actually, that was Can't Stop by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. How can I not stop to give the Red Hot Chili Peppers a shout out over there?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. One of the seminal tracks of the, was it the 90s or 2000s?
I would like to say the 90s because I remember listening to it as a kid, but who knows? Memory is a tricky one there. Right now, we're looking at the international stories. And one that's really popped out to us is, this new kerfuffle between Twitter and US President Donald Trump. They seem to have fact-checked one of his tweets, and he is not taking too well to this. Xiaoning, were you surprised by this reaction from the president?
No, not at all. I'm actually quite pleased. I think there's something quite good that Twitter has done. I mean, I think this is in response to all this fake news going out there, right? So, and why not? It applies to everyone. So if it's fake news from an unknown source or if it's fake news from what is unfortunately the president of the U.S., then what's wrong with labeling what it really is? I mean, of course, it's rather unusual that a president of a country is getting this kind of like a check and balance kind of thing from Twitter. That's the unusual bit. And knowing Trump, he's probably not going to be very happy about it. Well, too bad.
Not very happy. Understatement of the year.
You only need to go to Twitter to find out how angry he is about the situation.
Exactly, the rich irony. The other thing that's ironical is the fact that Trump and China, who are not the best of friends, are both being accused of the same thing, which is not telling the truth necessarily. and I don't blame Jack Dorsey, right? I mean, you want Twitter to be a platform where good conversations, which are of an honest nature, are being conducted. And if nobody else but the leader of the free world is at best fabricating some of the truths, then why wouldn't you do your best to make an example out of it, right? Yeah. Even on pain of like the serious repercussions that Trump is promising.
Yeah, so like even the tweet that they flagged, right? So I'll just read out the tweet from Donald Trump here. There is no way, in caps, no way, zero, that mail-in ballots, with voting by mail, will be anything less than substantially fraudulent. Mailboxes will be robbed, ballots will be forged and even illegally printed out and fraudulently signed. The governor of California is sending ballots to millions of people, anyone, ... Very, very hard statement he's made there. Very strong. Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. all Twitter puts at the bottom there is get the facts about mail-in ballots. They don't even say get it right. They just put out a little notification here. Here's more information if you want it. A very softer touch, but obviously
subtle,
but you know, it makes you think like, okay, maybe I should read up more about this, not entirely believe this particular tweet. It could be anyone else. It doesn't have to be Donald Trump. But obviously, this feeds into the narrative of basically Donald Trump versus Silicon Valley, right? He name calls Washington Post all the time for being Jeff Bezos' Amazon product, and then Jack Dorsey's another person he doesn't quite like as well.
No. But on the precedence of on the precedence that Twitter is setting now, I would find it very interesting in all the social media platforms were to start fact-checking politicians all around the world. Because as we know, politicians pander to the popular crowd, right? And sometimes, not all, in fact, I wouldn't even say sometimes, in my opinion, most of the time, whatever they say cannot be believed.
this is definitely going to be interesting to see how they play it across the board. And this narrative of right-wing voices being silenced is something that's growing a lot of traction. And in some areas, it's getting quite toxic as well because it's this automatic blanket defense, right? Does this fact check actually do anything about it? Is someone who believes this actually going to be like, maybe I should listen to Twitter and fact check this situation?
Wong Xiaoling lives very, very deep in thought now. Yeah. She's analyzing the situation.
Xiaoling, give us your expert analysis.
Much of Einstein.
Well, I'm thinking I would actually purposely go and look at these because it would be hilarious. Right? Because you would want to go and check, okay, this one is fake, aha, and then this is fake, aha. No, I think, you know, unfortunately, politics has become very polarized. So you believe something, you just believe it. Even if you put a warning, I'm not sure you will change your mind. But perhaps maybe it will kind of encourage some sort of a little light bulb to go in your head and think, yes. Yeah. And that's what media is all about, right? Providing that check and balance.
Yes.
And but the problem is, of course, sometimes you just listen to your own echo chamber.
Ah, that is the thing, right? So hopefully this gets people to start thinking a little bit outside their echo chamber. I actually have a Twitter list on Twitter of people I don't necessarily agree with. And I try and read it every so often. But the cognitive dissonance that it causes when you read that, because you start questioning
why,
everything.
Why would you read it in the first place? Just ignore it. You'll stay staying that way.
And on that beautiful note, we're going into a few messages right now. And when we come back, we'll be talking about what's on the papers and the portal. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Kusu Chuang. And I almost said Noel Lim there. Noel Lim's not in just yet. We've got Wong Xiaoning over the internet with us. And that was superpositioned by, I seem to have forgotten, by the young giant. Thank you. See, sometimes the brain, the memory, we're talking about that, doesn't always work as well. even when you're just 30 years old. But, you know, we don't need our memories to look at the papers and the portals. Wong Xiaoning, what are you? What's piqued your interest this morning?
Singapore Straits Times. I love reading this newspaper. Like, it's a little microscope into what Singapore is up to. Anyway, it looks likely that elections will be held earlier than later because their deputy prime minister, this is a headline in Singapore Straits Times, the DPM Heng on Singapore GE, the sooner we get it done, the earlier we can rally everybody together to fight COVID-19. So this is clearly a hint that the elections are coming up soon. Legally, they need to have it by April 14, 2021. So it seems like I think they're rolling ahead. They want to have this. But I'm just curious what kind of form it will take place. Because I think Korea set the example. How will Singapore implement their elections with all this physical distancing, masks? It'll be an interesting experiment for them.
Yes, I can certainly see Singapore emulating what South Korea did. They seem to have the machinery and the organization to get something like that done. But Kusu Chuang,
it's a small country too.
Yeah, it's a small country, right? Kusu Chuang, I see you have the star in front of you. What's popping there?
Well, I've got the star, page 4. MCA president, Dato Sri Dr. Wee Ka Siong, has said that the Tunku Abdul Rahman University College, TAUC, will obtain 58 million ringgit from the finance ministry. And they're going to be getting it directly, not through the third party that Lim Guan Eng, his predecessor, the finance minister, former, mandated. So in the past, under the Pakatan Harapan government. It went through a third party. Not sure what to make of this, whether it's better handled from a governance perspective through the University College themselves or through the third party that Lim Guan Eng wanted. Also very much in the same vein, Malay Mail citing UMNO President Dato Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi, saying that the GLC appointments of MPs were to be congratulated, and they were made accordingly because their appointments were to ensure that Perikatan national government policies and aspirations were implemented. But whatever those policies and aspirations actually mean and interpreted, I don't quite know. Star Business front page. There was a property sales scam, okay? So this is a Star exclusive. So talking about how there was a list apparently of some Klang Valley and Penang properties put up for sale, which is actually fraudulent. Okay, more than 40 properties, including a bunch of well-known 4- and 5-star hotels as well as service suites, were put up for sale for between 4 million ringgit and 1.2 billion ringgit. So they talked to the Zeron Properties founder and CEO, Pravindran Singh, and then who actually tried to contact a number of these so-called vendors. And much to his amazement, some of these assets were assets that he himself, his company, were being mandated to sell. So it turns out it was all fraudulent, and it's, don't know who's behind it, but clearly it's not the most thought through scam of all, is it?
Yes, but this is definitely something that has been coming up, right? Scams. People have been pretending to be income tax, had pretending to be EPF to kind of get you to open up certain bank accounts or give them certain details, and then basically, you lose money one way or another. Or, you know, you always have the classic
deposits or something being taken.
Yes, correct. And they get certain information from you. Sometimes it doesn't seem very powerful information, but some of this information can lead to your security questions on your passwords. That is very important to pay attention to. Now, very quickly, I've got the NST in front of me and a headline, online only, no face-to-face teaching at public and private higher education institutions until the end of the year to curb the spread of COVID-19. There are exceptions to this case, final year students in certain segments, as well as students who need the on-campus facilities. But this is something that, this is particularly, there are 5 categories of students there, but this is something that's going to be playing out till the end of the year there. And I think for schools right now, I think Form 5 students will be allowed to go back to school. I mean, and Form 6 because of their exam years. But right now, that's all we have for the 6 a.m. stretch. And goodbye to Wong Xiaoning, and Noel Lim will be back with us after 7 a.m. We're going into a few messages right now. And when we come back, we'll be talking about the world markets with Vishnu Varadhan of Mizuho Bank. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.